from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, hour number two. Good to have you with us on the Team 980. We'll get back to your calls in just a sec. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Along with Matty Ice on the other side of the glass. I'm merely the rooster. Cock-a-doodle-doo to you. All of our football and baseball coverage, for that matter, because we mixed it up in hour number one and will continue to do so, is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, so I just wanted to give you the Ben, not the Ben standing. That's coming up later on. The Brandon Ayuk latest, as news is coming out within the last, let's call it 10 minutes, of what is going on in terms of that. And that is that Brandon Ayuk still has not reported to practice. Or he's still in the building as far as we know, but he was not present on the practice field as practice began. Now, John Lynch said the other day, man, at some point, you got to play football. And everybody thought, oh, Brandon Ayuk's going to come back because he's just making a big thing. So far, 2 for 2, 2 days. No Brandon Ayuk. He's pretty serious. He's stupid, but he's pretty serious. I shouldn't say he's stupid. He's doing really ill-advised things. He's getting some really bad advice. Really bad advice. Or he's so stubborn and so pig-headed that his agent is probably maybe going out of his mind. And Ayuk just like, bleep you. I'm going to do what I want to do. The 49ers did make a wide receiver move, according to Tom Pelissero. Remember Terrence Marshall, who was just cut from the Carolina Panthers, a former second-round pick? They did claim him and put him on the practice squad. Now, here's the deal. We all know that Brandon Ayuk, because he has been at the 49ers facility, and because apparently he did have some sort of back injury that apparently is now cleaned up or cleared from, which we all thought was kind of a weird thing for Kyle Shanahan to say when he wasn't practicing anyway. But apparently he did. We don't even know if he's going to get fined. Like, Trent Williams is getting fined. But here's the difference. They revere Trent Williams, I think. I'm surprised they still haven't gotten anything done, but they revered Trent Williams. I mean, if you listen to the way John Lynch talked about Trent Williams the other day, you know Kyle loves Trent Williams. They've been together, you know, not for an entire 14 years, but large part of 14 years. That was the very first pick of the Shanahans here. And they nailed that one big time. So I'm a little surprised they haven't done that. I am not surprised they have not done the Ayuk thing. Now, with all the reports that came out like 2 weeks ago, oh, it was happening any moment. Remember the big report from Andrew Filippone in Pittsburgh of our sister station at Pittsburgh at Dundeal. Just I mean, well, that sure broke apart pretty quick. I mean, A, as we surmised then, Pittsburgh really didn't have anybody like with chops, Van Jefferson maybe, that they could trade because they had traded and gotten rid of Deontay Johnson and George Pickens. To give him up in the deal for Brandon Ayuk doesn't really accomplish what you're trying to accomplish, right? So it didn't make a whole lot of sense, even though apparently it was close to happening. So here we are 2 weeks later. Oh, and then all the reports and speculation over last weekend started, don't rule out the Commanders. And listen, I know a lot of reporters here have ruled out the Commanders just because that's what they've been told. This football team, no matter who has been in charge, has never 100% told you everything you want to know. They just never have. I don't want to say they've lied. They have lied. Maybe in some cases they did. But they never 100% tell you everything. As a matter of fact, a lot of times they probably don't tell you everything on purpose. And even if they tell you something, you shouldn't always believe it. Hook, line, and sinker. So I would never rule out them once again engaging in a Brandon Ayuk deal, okay, depending on a variety of factors. I mean, it could be a season-ending injury to Terry. I mean, obviously that would be a worst-case scenario, but you get my point. But now with Noah Brown in the fold, it's hard to imagine that they get so desperate this year, even before the trade deadline, to go get Ayuk, right? If they weren't desperate, which they weren't based on every bit of evidence before signing Noah Brown and after trading Jahan Dotson, who they tried to peddle off on the 49ers, and obviously Kyle was like, sure. I mean, if they weren't desperate before, what are they now? They're the furthest thing from desperate, aren't they? I mean, now that they got Noah Brown in the fold, and that brings up another element, another connecting of the dot. You know, yesterday on the show, Windbag Wednesday with Linnell, we went over everything, right? We had a bunch of questions planned out. How do you feel about this? What do you like here? What do you like there? We talked about Noah Brown. Talked about the need of size, experience, so on and so forth. Everyone had that right. That was a name that immediately, and as soon as he got cut, or there was a report that he was going to get cut in Houston, everybody was like, ooh, Noah Brown. Look at this, look at that, look at that. Experience, size, connection to Dan Quinn, production, blah, 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 blah. All correct. And they got eventually a deal done with Noah Brown. Yet, that deal wasn't announced until, again, after the show. I think it was right around 5 o'clock, roughly. I heard a lot of people, I just want to choose my words carefully here. I heard a lot of people very, 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 very down on Adam Peters and the Commanders organization for not using the waiver wire. And listen, was I surprised that they didn't claim anybody? Yeah, I was surprised. Was I surprised that the Carolina Panthers and the New England Patriots, 1-3 on the waiver wire, claimed 4-plus guys each? Yeah. Yeah, I was. But was I surprised that the Commanders weren't overly investing in the waiver wire? No, I wasn't. And here's why. Think about this. When you add a player through waivers, okay, they are not vested veterans. They are young players that are already now approaching, at the very minimum, their second team. Meaning, you know, one could have been a first-round pick like Lewis Cine a couple of years ago. Yes, he had a big injury, and he's already gone. Or Jahan Dotson could have been cut if he wasn't traded. And I said that, and people laughed and thought there was no chance. Well, okay. I think I was proven right. Now, they worked out a trade, which is much better than cutting a guy, but the point being is first-round picks now get cut 2 years into their career. Teams just do not have the patience, and if they recognize that guy ain't it for me, dog, why even delay the process, dog? But the Commanders had their pick beyond Carolina. We don't know if they claimed, at least I haven't seen, if they claimed any of the players that Carolina actually was awarded. We know that the corner, Tariq Castro-Fields, went from Washington to Carolina. I don't know, or at least I haven't seen, anything disputing that Washington put in a claim for some of the other players that Carolina scooped up, in which they would have lost that claim because Carolina had the number one waiver priority. But, I heard, oh, what is Adam Peters doing? What is Adam Peters thinking? Why? I'm stunned. Can't believe. And here's how I would label it. I would label it as, was I mildly surprised? Sure. I thought they would claim somebody. I didn't think it was going to be some feeding frenzy like the Carolina Panthers and the New England Patriots partook in. Remember, these are young players. These are guys with less than four accrued seasons. In some cases, a lot of cases, they're players that were, you know, maybe have 1 year of NFL experience. Maybe a half a year of NFL experience. Maybe 2 years of NFL experience. And again, there's different ways to accrue vested seasons. But bottom line, the vested veterans have to be on a roster for at least six games for at least four seasons. So basically, now again, it's not play time, but it's like, you know, you could be guy 50, guy 51, whatever, for four seasons, six games, basically 25 games, roughly, and then be considered a vested veteran, right? So sometimes it's a guy with 7 or 8 years of experience. Sometimes it's a guy with just barely over that mark. Either way, young players who are already on team number two, you know what happens a lot of times? There's a flood of names. And teams look around and say, okay, this guy might be able to help us, but we already cut somebody we knew who was already in camp with us, who already played in the preseason. Just use, for example, Tariq Castro-Fields. Is somebody better than Tariq Castro-Fields? Is somebody at this point better than Noah Igbinoghene? Is somebody at this point better than carrying 17 safeties? Better than Derek Forrest? Is somebody better than Javonte Jean-Baptiste? Is somebody better than Chris Paul? Is somebody better than... You see where I'm going here? And maybe they don't even do that for every individual player just because there's simply a lack of time. But they have draft profiles. They have game scouting tape evaluations and notes and profiles on all of these guys, as Adam Peters alluded to yesterday. And listen, I mean, maybe they don't have exhaustive notes on every single player, but they have a file on every single player. They do. That's how organizations do it. So when you say, well, wait a second, why didn't they claim a player? They had the number two priority. Look at what New England and look at what Carolina did. Some of that argument makes sense. Again, I was mildly surprised, if not more than mildly surprised. They didn't claim anybody. Again, we don't know if they lost out on a player or two that Carolina was awarded. I have not seen that. So if somebody has seen that, please send it to me. But I have not seen that. But I could be missing it. There's a million different roster machinations and moves going on. My point being is, it should be treated and considered a mild surprise, a moderate surprise. It should not be an indictment on Adam Peters or on this front office, Lance Newmark, so on and so forth. It should not be, oh, what are the Commanders thinking? What are they doing? Now, the one thing that makes you scratch your head, the one thing that kind of made me scratch my head is when they don't make a move, right? Which, again, they didn't, ultimately, no matter how it played out. They don't make a move, and then Adam Peters, on the record, who I love, right, again, that does not mean I'm never going to disagree with him. That does not mean that. But when Adam Peters, and again, they brought in a couple of guys on the practice squad, what have you. I'm not saying that they didn't. But when Adam Peters says to the media yesterday that basically it's because they're happy with the guys that they have. He said, on anticipating more moves with the waiver wire. Yeah, I think that's what it's reflective of, is more. One, I want to thank our pro staff, our pro scouting staff. They scoured preseason tape for hours and hours and hours, really got together a lot of good candidates, made tapes, what have you, had our coaches watch them. Again, that's not everybody. Okay, that's like certain guys that they like. But in the end, I think it really speaks to the guys we have in this building. And looking through the waiver wire and being really happy with the guys that we have. Now, this is the tormenting part, the confusing part. Because everyone looks at this roster and says, yeah. Maybe we're all missing something. Maybe they are great at offensive tackle, at corner, at edge pass rusher or end, at wide receiver. And obviously, I'm sure they knew that they had a really good feel that Noah Brown was coming here. So maybe that certainly, mitigated that particular need. Right? I mean, they had been in touch, I'm sure, with the agent right away. And then it was just a matter of, hey, can we get him before anybody else does? That was not a waivers thing. Okay? But they almost surely had to know that Noah Brown was going to be a part of their team. But when Adam Peters says, you know, the reason, essentially, this is what he said, nuts and bolts of what he said. We had a bunch of research. We had a bunch of good guys identified. But we were really happy with the guys that we have. And we thought, you compare them to the guys that you have and the guys that are out there, and we thought the guys we have in the building we're really happy with. So at this point, we didn't make any waiver claims, and we have the number two waiver claim. And what that means is, through the first 3 weeks of the season, I thought I had read somewhere yesterday, maybe it was the wrong information by one reporter, I don't remember, local, national, whatever, that if the Commanders claim someone along with, or didn't claim someone, and the Panthers, of course, did, and they claimed many, that the Commanders would move ahead of the Panthers. I was told this morning that is not the case. So I'm going based on that information and based on anything that I can see that the Commanders still have the number two waiver claim behind Carolina, even though Carolina has signed five or six guys. But this is where Adam Peters gets himself in a little bit of trouble and where people go, really? Basically, he says, out of all the guys that are available, we thought our guys were better. Okay. Let's find out if you're right. That's hard to fathom, but let's find out if you're right. And maybe there was a guy that went to New England or went elsewhere beyond Carolina that they had control over that turns out and has a great breakout year, and they missed. We will be able to track that. We will be able to see. We will be able to figure that out. And you have to start looking at, again, New England first, and then everyone else after that. But it was a little bit weird to hear Adam Peters say on the record, hey, man, the reason why we didn't make any waiver claims is we like the guys we have here better. Okay. In Adam Peters, we trust, right? Let's find out together. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. So that's the latest on Ayuk. That's the latest on the roster in terms of the waiver order, in terms of the waiver situation, non-claims. I want to get into a little bit more of Noah Brown just on the other side. Then we're going to get into Ben Standig's agent survey, then Deion Sanders, and everything more. And we still got to get back to that ESPN quarterbacks thingy from yesterday that we just touched on at the end of the show. Still a lot to come here on a Thursday afternoon in the nation's capital and beyond. Stay with us on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Root, woo! Oh, the pompousness of love, baby. Adam Peters is no joker. He's a straight shooter, man. And maybe he's right. Hey, man. I can't tell you one way or the other that guys claimed by the Patriots and beyond are going to be better than the guys that Adam Peters said yesterday and demonstrated. Like, one thing to say it, again, I don't always believe in coach speak. I don't always believe in executive speak. It's another thing to do it. He didn't do it, or he did it, and then said it, we think our guys are better. Again, he demonstrated that and then doubled down on that. Again, you don't have to believe him. You don't have to like it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to agree with it, what have you. We do an open forum radio show here. I strongly disagreed with their decision on KJ Henry. And I think I was validated by the fact that the Cincinnati Bengals claimed him immediately. And Tarik Castro Fields. But, you know, whatever. I'll be interested to follow those two guys. But my point being is, like Adam Peters not claiming anybody on waivers, then saying it's because we thought we had better guys here in the building, again, demonstrates conviction on that particular statement. Now, again, I'm almost surely, I'd be stunned if they didn't have a really good feeling that Noah Brown was coming. And maybe they already knew, period. But as we just saw with Louis Cine, former first round pick 2 years ago, changed from the Jets to the Bills. Not even like practice squad to 53, practice squad to practice squad. Guys change their minds all the time. Right? So, you know, it's interesting how this all shakes out in terms of you get Noah Brown, you get a couple of guys that they liked, you get a bunch of your guys back, you lose a couple of your guys, you trade the defensive tackle whose name is now John Ridgeway. You lose KJ Henry. You lose Tarik Castro Fields. You choose to not bring back Martavis Bryant for whatever reason. You lost Marcus Rosemary Jack Saint. I think Rosemary. Not, I always want to call him Rosemary. Rosemary Jack Saint. He goes to the Eagles practice squad. You know, so you lost some guys that you gambled on, but you didn't bring in any new blood via that waiver wire because you thought your team was better. That's an interesting strategy. Again, I'm not mad. I'm just a little perplexed that there was nobody out there available that was better than anybody on your roster. Nobody? That's interesting. As Ron Rivera would say, you got to talk about what's interesting and not important, or whatever variation he would say. That's interesting to me. Nobody was better. Again, I'm not sitting here on my soapbox going, damn it, they should have made five waiver claims. Look at how smart the Carolina Panthers were. I don't know if the Carolina Panthers are smart. I like Dan Morgan. We've had some interaction. I like Dan Morgan. He was one of my favorite players from college long ago. I like Dan Morgan. It doesn't mean Dan Morgan's right and Adam Peters is wrong. It's just a really, really, really interesting way to validate what your decision was or to back up what your decision was. Because, again, even though they probably had Noah Brown in the fold already, agreed to terms, what have you, if you just push that aside and you say, wait, there was nobody else? Are we so sure? Or are we in the media, fan base, are we really under evaluating what they have? Like, a lot of people were confused. Wait, Trent Scott? What? Wait, why? What about this guy? What about that guy? Wait a second. You're gonna keep Javonte Jean-Baptiste over KJ Henry? Right? So, I don't know. It's just really interesting to see how they do this and how they come full circle and how they operate. And again, the good news is, for the most part, we're going to be able to track how this goes. You know, just like we're going to be able to forever compare Emmanuel Forbes to Christian Gonzalez, who Ron Rivera chose ahead of Christian Gonzalez, and Bill Belichick chose Christian Gonzalez. And I'd probably tend to think that Bill Belichick would have chosen Christian Gonzalez if he had the choice between the two, but he didn't. He had one choice, at least at that moment, of corner. But we're going to be able to track that forever and ever and ever and ever. We're going to be able to track, hey, they chose Chase Young, did not choose Tua Tagovailoa, did not choose Justin Herbert, and did not choose Andrew Thomas, the left tackle, who I'm convinced, while most dopey fans don't even know who that is, I'm convinced they would have drafted him over the two quarterbacks. But that's neither here nor there. I know I'll be right about that, but I can't prove it. The point being is, we can track all that stuff, we can kind of track this. At least the KJ Henry, Tariq Castro Fields, John Ridgeway part, we certainly can, because we know we let them go. Who they didn't bring in? Well, you could start to look at who, again, was claimed on waivers, starting with number 3 in New England, and say, ah, well, that guy could have helped us. Why didn't they do that? Why didn't they bring him in? Time for a trending alert, and then we'll get to the Ben Standing Agent Survey and what they said about the Commanders coming up next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we start with huge NBA news. Who would have thought this on a Thursday at the end of August? But yeah, it's interesting. Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors have agreed on a one-year $62.6 million contract extension, according to his agent, through Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. So Curry now under contract through the 2026-2027 season, and he'll eventually become the third player to pass $500 million in career earnings. Doesn't suck to be Steph Curry. Meanwhile, The New York Jets from the NFL are always in the headlines for a lot of things that Aaron Rodgers does, but this is not a great one, at least in their minds. They're not happy that former first-round pick, recent first-round pick, safety Louis Cine, has decided to back down from his agreement with the Jets to sign in their practice squad to join instead the division rival Buffalo Bills practice squad. He was the 32nd pick overall by the Vikings in the 2022 NFL draft. Joe Douglas saying, just a change of heart, I guess. Meanwhile, the Jets are also still dealing with Hassan Reddick's holdout. Joe Douglas saying the ball is in his court. Were in their court, meaning him and his agent. 38-day holdout. Of course, he was acquired by the Philadelphia from the Philadelphia Eagles early in the offseason and has not practiced one single day with the New York Jets yet. As we told you last hour, Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes getting ready for their first game of the new calendar year. They'll take on North Dakota State Bison tonight, 8 o'clock in Boulder, Colorado on ESPN, so everybody can watch with all of the controversy surrounding Deion Sanders. And how about locally, the Howard Bison visiting Rutgers? You can watch that game on Big Ten Network, although you may want to close your eyes. Rutgers is 38.5-point favorites, and that's what's trending.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, good to have you back with us on a Thursday afternoon. Take it up till 4 o'clock. Craig Hoffman at that point. So I just put up the quote, a basically shortened, abridged version of it, but, you know, pretty much with as much detail. And I'm sure everybody's going to be going, yeah, what's the big deal? They like the guys that they have. Okay. But they also, I mean, to their credit, they prove that. And then they said it. They didn't say it and then prove it. I mean, I guess that would have been maybe better to say it and then prove it, as opposed to proving it and then saying it. Because it's easy to kind of say what you did when you know what you did and what you didn't do. You get my point. But I thought it was a fascinating quote. Because what he's telling you is, if he's telling you the truth, and again, it must be the truth as the way they see it, we're good. Compared to the guys that were available. And everybody's having a hard time understanding why 32 teams have to make all, or 31 other teams have to make all these cuts, and there's nobody that you like. But we'll let that marinate. You know, we probably spent too much time on it already. And obviously, again, they had to cut guys. It's not like they cut guys that they wouldn't like to ideally keep. They had to cut guys. This is about not bringing in new guys, right? And technically, they did bring in new guys. They just weren't on waivers. They were actual free agents. Even some of the guys that they brought in on the practice squad. All right, so Ben Standing does an annual NFL agent survey. And, you know, he puts it all together and, you know, essentially, and Ben's really good at this. He gets 31, or in this particular year's sample, 31 different player agents. Sixth annual NFL agent survey. And in years past, I mean, the agents have just fried Dan Snyder, Bruce Allen, the, you know, Commanders by any other name, Washington football team, Redskins, what have you, the facilities, blah, 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 blah. So what Ben did was, you know, kind of, you know, break it down into some individual tiers. And, you know, basically he took some unattributable quotes. But again, you have to kind of trust that, you know, Ben is a professional and he's not making this up. And, you know, one agent say, like, about the 49ers, the way they treat people and don't skimp on expenses, highly professional. Now, you might ask Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk that, and they might have a different answer. Right? But he also points out about the 49ers, one agent said, you have to fit in within their culture. But they allow players and employees to be themselves. And they win even while getting the staff poached by other teams every year. Which is kind of like how the 49ers continue to sustain themselves, right? Despite losses every year, coaches and players. You have a set culture, a set way of doing things, a philosophy, and you don't really kind of back off of that. I mean, you bend a little bit, but you don't back off of it. It's still your foundation. And that's exactly what they're trying to do here. You've got to be physical without the ball if you're going to play receiver for us. You've got to play with a certain level of hustle, intensity, effort, what have you. On a Tuesday morning in early August, when nobody's watching, nobody meaning the big eye in the sky television cameras, or on a Monday night in week three against the Bengals on Monday Night Football when everyone's watching. You know, like there's a way to do things and then there's a way not to do things. So, you know, Ben has, again, all these quotes from agents that were interesting, right? And he put up some good and he put up some bad. And one that jumped out to me was about the Carolina Panthers. Now, I heard somebody say the other day, I can't tell you who, that David Tepper, who's the Carolina Panthers owner, is a really good owner. Somebody who worked for him. Really good guy. He's just impatient. He's a hedge fund guy. He wants immediate results. And that's exactly what this quote basically says. Organizational stability comes from the owner, and the front office needs more time from the owner or than the owner gives. A strong quarterback can keep a team viable regardless of the front office, but what's the plan? Well, that sounds essentially what I heard. But so supposedly David Tepper is not the clueless, egomaniac, controlling jerk that he's been painted out to be. I'm not saying he's a great owner, not saying he's a great guy. That's what I told somebody who worked for him. Okay? Then, right, there's this about the Commanders. The front office and coaching needed seismic changes. They were wise in free agency and drafted a quarterback at 2. Duh. I do not see immediate success, but adding the required building blocks has begun. That was one agent, end quote. Another agent, Dan Quinn is the perfect hire as head coach for the needed culture change. I love the pairing with Adam Peters. They have so much work to do beyond football. Interesting that still a year into the Josh Harris regime, and now 7 months into the Dan Quinn and Adam Peters era, you know, people still believe, man, love it, love the pairing. Those guys are awesome dudes, rock stars, but boy, do they have a lot of work to do. Now, I would be willing to bet if you went back and looked at Ben Standing's 2020 athletic agent survey, a lot of people said a lot of really good things similar to that about Ron Rivera. I haven't done that yet, but I remember reading it at the time and going, oh, okay. Yeah, they actually have somebody now running the show that people respect. Doesn't always guarantee you success. Does not always guarantee you success. About quarterbacks, this one was interesting because I said yesterday, following the CeeDee Lamb re-signing, Linnell was like, oh, you know, it's an embarrassment. It's a joke. Jerry Jones is senile. He said Jerry Jones is senile. He also said Albanian people are albinos. I heard that on Craig's, the end of Craig's show, Real Things, Real People Say into Real Microphones last night. And I was cracking up.
Albanian was an albino person.
Oh, man.
Idiots are not created equal.
That is for damn sure, Lionel. That is for damn sure.
We had a lot of quotes from yesterday.
Yeah, we did. It was a funny show yesterday. Much more funnier than today. I don't know. I don't go to clubs. I'm 50. Did I say that yesterday?
Yes, you did.
Wow.
Talking about Emmanuel Forbes.
That's right.
And him. Well,
yeah, that's right. Because Lionel bursted out like a perfectly placed like football conversation. He just all of a sudden thought, you know, I'm going to drop this in. A little birdie told me that Emmanuel Forbes puts his name on a list and uses his real name as opposed to John Allen and Deron Payne, who don't.
Go ahead. Well, all over me then.
At a VIP section of a bar on U Street. And like, I care about that. But anyway, about the Dak Prescott situation, Lionel said, it's an embarrassment. It's a joke. Jerry Jones is senile. And I said, you know, I thought he was talking about, well, you know, he's made some weird comments, you know, as Jerry always does. He always says some crazy ass, you know, okay. And he's like, the fact that he hasn't paid Dak Prescott yet is embarrassing. It's a joke. It's humiliating. Some form of that. And I don't know of one person in the world, besides Linnell Willingham, that actually, and maybe Dak Prescott, that thinks like that. But then again, I didn't know of one person that thought that Angel Reese was better than Caitlin Clark. And that's what I got from the youngest in charge bowel movement. But these agents that Ben Standing used or spoke to, again, 31 of them. One of them said about the Cowboys situation with Dak Prescott, the Cowboys got themselves in a mess. That's what happens when the owner gets too involved and becomes friends with the players. Boy, where have we heard that before? I wouldn't pay Dak $60 million per year. And they can't make all three guys, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, and Dak Prescott, the highest paid at their respective positions. And, of course, CeeDee Lamb just signed a four-year 136 extension. He's just below Justin Jefferson. And another agent said, no, the Cowboys want to play it out and are willing to pay the price if they're wrong. And another one said, yes, I can't imagine Jerry Jones letting him go. Another one said, hold the line. Once you start paying guys that crazy money, they effectively own a part of the team. You can get a $5 million quarterback and win 8 games. Maybe Jerry is getting hip to that reality. Another agent said, the issue is whether Dak is a top 5 quarterback. He was in the regular season, but is he a difference maker? I think Dallas is doing right by seeing what he's worth. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on. Everybody had an opinion on this. Here's the bottom line. Dallas is absolutely correct for letting it play out. If Dak Prescott wins a Super Bowl, obviously they're screwed from a financial term, but they will have won a Super Bowl after 3 straight 12-5 seasons and whatever this season turns out to be. But obviously it would be a playoff season. No guarantee that it would be a 12-5 season, but you know what I'm talking about. I think Dallas is doing the exact right thing here, because here's the thing. They're screwed one way or the other. If they let Dak Prescott go at the end of this year, not only do they need a quarterback, because Trey Lance ain't it, man, but also they're holding the bag on like a $40 million dead cap charge But they have to look at $40 million dead cap charge for 1 year as punishing and penalizing, but way better than committing $250 million or $275 million. Look at what's going on with the Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson. Different argument, different case, same position, same reckless renegade style of a football team. I'll give you the details on that coming up, plus more from the agent survey that Ben Standing put together at The Athletic. You should subscribe to The Athletic. It's great, and it's very affordable, and Ben does a great job covering the Commanders, and obviously with this, the agent survey really covering the NFL. More to come on that in just a couple of moments right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Oh, little pumpkins for you. A month and a half out. I guess 2 months out, right? Yeah, 2 months out from Halloween. Huh? But everybody knows all the pumpkin stuff is already coming out. I've seen pumpkin coffee elsewhere. I saw, I think at Dunkin' Donuts, a pumpkin muffin already. Maybe even a pumpkin donut.
Oh, we're in pumpkin spice season already.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I mean, I do like pumpkin flavored stuff, as long as it doesn't have like that real syrupy, sugary, blah taste.
So that's not my thing, but I do love maple flavored stuff, and that's fall is also maple season. Yeah.
Well, so. It's maple, like everything about fall reminds you, like pumpkin, maple, and like apple and cinnamon.
Yep.
Kind of like those three things go kind of not hand in hand, but like in the same general class for me. You know what's so weird though?
No.
I've said this before and people are like, you're a space Martian. I would eat pumpkin pie like if it was the last thing on Earth, but I would never choose pumpkin pie.
Oh, I'm not a fan of pumpkin that much. I don't love pumpkin pie.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, if you don't love the taste of pumpkin, you're not. Well, but actually, I like pumpkin spice and whatever. Like if you, basically pumpkin spice coffee, right?
Yeah,
I would drink it a heartbeat, right? And I'm sure everybody's got it now or very soon. Maybe Wawa's got. I've been to a Wawa in about a week and a half. I got to go there tonight to get gas, and I'll get a cup of coffee and then go to the gym and so on and so forth. But my point being is, I like that taste, as long as, again, it's not too like syrupy or sugary or whatever. But pumpkin pie just doesn't do anything. Sweet potato pie, same kind of thing, just doesn't do anything for me.
I don't really, well, and this is, I think, what stemmed from all this. Mm-hmm. I don't love the taste of pumpkin, but I'm fine with it. And like, I don't love the pumpkin spice lattes, but if you put it in front of me, I'll probably still drink it. Actively, I'm one of those weird people. I can't stand the texture.
There's a lot of weird people.
Texture of pumpkin. That kind of like sloshy, like it's both a liquid and a solid at the same. No. Get it out of here.
I've never really thought about it in that vein, but
a pumpkin pie consistency, ugh.
Are you telling me like almost like it's like a gelatin type?
Yeah, but it's not. Gelatin will stay. Pumpkin pie oozes. Like when you cut a pumpkin pie open and then like have it on your plate, the filling will ooze out and just like, no, it's nasty. It's not my thing.
I mean, there hasn't been a holiday that I could think of anytime recently, 10-ish years, where I've gone, oh, let me get a piece of pumpkin pie.
Good for you.
Now, apple pie?
That's a different
story. Totally different ballpark. You know, but I'm not a cherry pie fan. Blueberry pie, I would love. Not cherry. Rhubarb, minced meat pie or whatever the hell they call it.
So I know this is
fruit
more of
pie,
a summer thing, but what about peach?
Peach pies.
Oh, so
good. I mean, I can't say I've had it recently, but I like the flavor of peaches.
They throw a little bit of cinnamon on top?
Ooh, oh, yeah. That's baby.
We're getting fancy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a big pineapple guy, too. Although, it's just got so much sugar in it. Got so much sugar on it. All right, real quickly, just a touch on the Adam Peters stuff from The Athletic, from Ben Standing's survey. One agent said, quote, Peters might be a curious choice. as to like the best GM that he likes to deal with. But look at his time with the 49ers and his start in Washington. They've done an excellent job flipping around the scouting department. Just having a scouting structure is something that Washington hasn't had for about 20 years. No GM is the sole evaluator of a team. 259, Team 980, and the Odyssey app. If you want to hop in, 301-230-0980. We'll get to Deion Sanders. Try and get to that NFL quarterback survey thingy from ESPN. And more from The Athletic on the agent survey side of things from Ben Standing in the 3 o'clock hour. Stay with us on the Team 980.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.